Thanks, Joe, for coming. Also, thanks, Benny, for inviting me here. It's a great pleasure to be here again. In today's talk, I'm going to tell you something about entanglement, quantum randomness, and complexity beyond scrambling. The references are these two papers. I'll update the full version soon, and there is also this concise version that contains the main results. This is a joint work with Seth Lloyd, Alton Zhu, and Huangjing Zhu. This is a plan of today's talk. I'm gonna start with some physical and mathematical backgrounds of this problem. And a major part of this talk will be the mathematical and kinematic results of generalized entanglement entropies of unitary and state designs. These results and techniques can be of independent interest to some other QI topics. So I decided to put this as a major part of today's talk. And then I'm also going to discuss the physical implications, which are randomness complexities beyond scrambling by Ray entanglement entropies. I would also like to spend some time on some potential problems and future work that I feel are important if I have enough time. So this will be the outlook part. Okay. Yeah, I'll wait for 10 seconds, I think. Great. I'll start by introducing scrambling. So scrambling is a very closely relevant notion to quantum chaos and thermalization. The notion of scrambling, I think, it originated from the study of black holes and quantum gravity. Like in the early days, like in Page and Hayden Proskow paper, people were trying to understand the thermal Hawking radiation, which is actually an effect of scrambling. And also later, people conjectured that the black hole is the fastest possible scrambler in the nature. Okay, there are many different understandings or measures for scrambling. For example, we take two very different initial states and we put it through a scrambler, then we expect that by local measurements, you will not be able to tell the difference, or you have some local perturbation and you will not be able to see them via local measurements in the output side. So it can be also understood by the spread of local information, which is also captured by some other measures like operator growth, butterfly effect, or out of time order correlation function, which is more relevant to chaos. And from a information theory point of view, it can be understood by small tripartite information, which I'll introduce later. And it actually captures the global entanglement, which helps you to hide the local information, so it becomes invisible to local measurements. Okay, now let's consider a collective understanding of these effects of scrambling. We can understand scrambling as effective randomization. It means that the input states for the system is behaving like random, effectively. So then this brings the problem. So we can try to model scrambling by complete randomization or in the quantum language is given by the Hart measure over states. There is a large complexity gap between the Hart randomization and the actual scrambling in the sense that the Hart randomization is highly complex, but scrambling is actually not. So this also indicates that there can be rich physics after scrambling is achieved in chaotic dynamics. So in this work, we are actually considering the problem of characterizing randomness and complexity behaviors beyond scrambling by entanglement behaviors, which is a truly quantum one. So the mathematical problem of this topic is actually the entanglement properties of random or pseudo-random states or dynamics. This kind of problem are also key to many independent topics like quantum computation, quantum crypto. Okay, let's see what we already know. We already know the Page's theorem, which says that the monomial entropy of small subsystems are almost maximal, averaged over the hard measure. But this result is actually weak from a complexity point of view. So the green side, the hard randomness has, like as I mentioned, it has high complexity in the sense that it requires exponentially number of gates and random bits to even approximate. And of course, it maximizes all internal entropies in the sense of like Rayleigh entropies, which I will mention later. Also, yeah, the orange side, the maximum monomial entropy corresponds to low complexity. It can be achieved by much less random ensembles, which are designs, and they can be efficiently implemented, which means low complexity. Also, like the maximum monomial entropy doesn't mean the higher order entropies, like higher order Rayleigh entropies, are large. So this work, we are actually considering the interplay between higher order entanglement entropies and pseudo-random states and unitary channels, which are given by designs. The mathematical machinery we use are from these separate fields. The results we are trying to get are, yeah, we are targeting at tight results on the degree of entanglement and randomness as in proving the Page's theorem. We're trying to lay down the mathematical foundations for studying randomness complexity beyond scrambling by these entanglement entropies, or entanglement properties in general. Okay, so now let me first introduce the generalized quantum entropy. What do we mean by it? So the thing we essentially care about is this trace of rho, which is the density operator, raised to the alpha power. So entropic functions of this trace is called the generalized quantum entropy of order alpha. There can also be another parameter, which is S. It characterizes the family, which I call the family. Okay. So if you take S to zero, you get Rayleigh entropy, which I'll define more precisely later. And this S controls the different families, but what we actually care is this alpha, which is the power of the density. Yeah.
So when you vary S, this is just like it really is only a monotonic rescale, not monotonic. No, yeah, monotonic rescaling of a normal Rayleigh entropy, isn't it? It doesn't change any of the, like, the,
yeah, it's not important.
That comes from the density matrix is the trace of rho alpha. And like after you compute that, S can change however it wants, but like that's right. You know what I'm asking?
Sorry. Yeah. It's not like this S is not very important. I shouldn't even be spending time on it. But okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll later tell you why the Rayleigh entropy is the most relevant here.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the Rayleigh entropy, and it has this monotonic property that if you increase the order, then it will decrease. The Rayleigh entropy will decrease. It's very simple. And also, we care about the infinite limit, which is called the min entropy. The min entropy is just the minus log of the operator norm of this density operator, which is essentially just the minus log of the maximum eigenvalue. So it only cares about the peak in the spectrum. So it is the strongest entropy here in the sense that it can't be large only when the whole spectrum is uniform, because it just doesn't care about smaller eigenvalues. Okay, so why do we care about Rayleigh entropies here? There are a bunch of reasons. So first of all, it is convex in this trace of rho to the alpha power. Then we can use Jensen's inequality to lower bound the design average values by Haar integrals. This allows us to study the Rayleigh entropies by just Haar integrals. And of course, the Rayleigh entropy always have roof value n for any order, which allows meaningful comparisons between with the maximum and between different orders. Also, it is additive on product states, which allows us to discuss things like mutual information, tripartite information, these generalized quantities. But by similar tools, you can also analyze other families if you really want, like Salyer's entropy, which corresponds to S equals 1. Then you have linearity in the trace, in contrast to the convexity of Rayleigh entropy, but if you if you talk about larger S, you will lose this convexity and you don't really have the lower bound. And also you can talk about these variants of the RAN-HB, which are more relevant in thermal and holography. Okay, now let's look at a very simple example of a spectrum. Let's consider this spectrum with only one large eigenvalue that scales roughly as 1 over square root d. If you look at its RAN-E2 entropy, you will see that it's almost maximal. So therefore, the von Neumann entropy is also nearly maximal in the sense that it's log d minus some constant, which doesn't grow with d. But if you look at higher order RAN entropies, you will see that the factor here becomes smaller than 1. And if you look at the min entropy, it's just 1/2 log d, which is given by the square root d. So you see that in this spectrum, you only have one peak. The low order entropy will not be able to detect this peak. But if you look at higher order of this density operator, you will see this peak by the smaller factor of in log d, before log d. This kind of fact will become important in our later discussions. Now let me introduce T-design. T-design is the notion of it's an ensemble or distribution of states or unitaries that reproduce the first T moments of the Haar measure. So it describes some uniform distribution on states, but it doesn't give you all the properties of the Haar measure. So in this sense, it's information theoretically pseudo-random. It can be defined by many different ways, like degree T polynomials, T-fold twirling, many of them. And it also has classical correspondences, like T-wise independence, T-independent hash functions, which basically says that if you query this pseudo-random generator for T times, you won't be able to tell the difference between the true randomness. Also, you can define different definitions of approximate versions, for example, by polynomials or by frame, which give you tensor product expander. Okay, this is the precise definition of design that we're going to use in our later mathematical derivations. So for state design, it's just given by this. So we care about this P of psi is just the, you can roughly understand it as the t-th order polynomial of the entries of the state vector. And you averaged over your ensemble if this average is always equal to the average over Haar measure, then your ensemble is a t-design. It's also, for unitary design, you can also define it in very similar ways. So note that the designs are actually, in contrast to the Haar measure, they are efficient to implement. They have a lot of applications in different QI processing tasks that needs randomness, like signal processing, randomized benchmarking, and so on. Okay, now let me introduce the results for random states first. So now we are considering a pure state on A and B. And the entailment entropy is just the entropy of the reduced density operator of A. So the first set of results is about order correspondence of RAN-E entropy and the design. So let's look at this main result, which talks about equal partition and the limit of D going to infinity. So the result here is saying that the average RAN-E alpha entanglement entropy averaged over a alpha design, these two alphas are the same, is almost maximal in the sense that it's just log d minus a constant. So this also can be interpreted as a state sampled from a alpha design is very likely to exhibit almost maximal RAN-E alpha entanglement entropy. So this is the main message that I'm trying to convey here. So but we also derive bounds using some different. Sorry.
After, is there any statement you can make about the variance of the entropy?
Invariance? Variance. So I will discuss that in the outlook. I think you mean some typicality in arguments like measure concentration, something like that. Yeah. But it's not really discussed here.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So by some more involved mathematical tools, we can also derive explicit bounds for general partition and finite dimension. But
So in the previous formula, alpha
right.
needs to be smaller than d, or is there any constraints on alpha?
No.
It works for.
Yes.
If I take alpha in. Oh, it's the lower one. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about, but I'll mention a relevant result later. Yeah. So here is the explicit bound for general partition and finite dimension, but the message is still similar. It's that you average over a alpha design. You calculate the alpha range entropy, it will be very close to the maximum, which is log d of a. Okay, so now let me very briefly introduce the methods for.
What is this?
You don't really need to care about these complex constants. It's just.
So you're considering entropy of a state, and.
So you do some partition, right? You have some subsystem A,
uh-huh.
And this bounds tells you.
So it's A is smaller than B. Okay.
Right. Okay, so the briefly introduce the methods for deriving these results. So first, the most key observation is that the alpha design, you do average over alpha design, it essentially only needs the alpha order polynomials, which is encoded in the trace of the reduced density operator raised to the alpha power. Okay. Then by the convexity of rank E, we can use Jensen's inequality to give this kind of lower bounds. So essentially, we only need to calculate the hard integrals of trace rho to the alpha, which is given by this expression. So the important thing here is this psi. So here, sigma is a permutation. And psi counts the number of disjoint cycles in the permutation. OK, so let's look at this. So for equal partitions and the large D limit, we actually need this cycle lemma, which says that, so tau here is a one shift. So you permute 1 to 2, 2 to 3, and so on, and alpha to 1. Is this full cycle? So this cycle lemma says that the psi of sigma compose tau plus the psi of sigma is smaller than alpha plus 1. So you can consider a very simple example such that so now the sigma is only identity. So there are alpha cycles in it. If like one goes back to itself, it's one cycle, and you have alpha cycles. And then the identity composed tau is just a full cycle, which gives you 1. So identity will saturate this inequality. But it's not so trivial that for every permutation of sigma, it's going to saturate this. So, but actually, this is true. And this is like also amazing in the sense that if this is like slightly violated, then we won't be able to get this constant gap. So there is something beautiful going on here.
What is the gap?
The gap with the log d, like this old one. This old one,
oh,
right here. Yeah. OK, and this is basically the high-level steps of how we got those results. And for general partitions, like to derive those very complicated constants, we need some more involved tools. But the main message is the same. Okay, now you may ask about what happens for approximate designs. This result tells you that as long as the deviation from exact designs is not so big, the result of rain entropy is robust, in the sense that it's not going to change a lot. As long as this epsilon is not dependent on D, then we still have this O1 kind of gap. So the key step of deriving this result is a matrix Holder inequality. Okay, now another question is, I think it's relevant to your earlier question, which is that, is infinite design necessary to maximize infinite entropy? Or it's asking that, do we need like infinite orders of designs to, like we have this order correspondence between design and entropy. But yeah, the question is like this. And this theorem answers this question in the negative. It essentially says that we only need a design that is with order roughly logarithmic in the dimension to maximize the min entropy, and also, therefore, maximize all rank entropies. You see? So here on the left-hand side, the new alpha can, like, it only needs to be a log design, but the min entropy will have this very nice form of log d minus a constant. So this says that the min entropy of entanglement of log designs is almost maximal. So the averaged entanglement spectrum of a log design is already almost completely uniform. Or you cannot distinguish log designs and higher designs from the Haar measure by entanglement entropy, because there's nothing left in the spectrum. Okay, another natural question is about the gap between different levels. So the question is that, does there exist, for example, some two designs? We know that its rank E2 entropy will be maximal, but does there exist some two designs such that the higher rank entropies are small? And also for states, we are able to give this kind of construction by some representation theory. So I think this is interesting. So I'm going to briefly introduce the step here. So let's consider this subgroup of the unitary group on AB, which is simply UA tensor UB. And note that this is not a unitary two design, but we also have that as long as the spectrum satisfies this equation, then the orbit of this psi will be a state two design. So and you solve this condition and you get this kind of spectrum, which like we were looking for this one large eigenvalue kind of spectrum, and you get this kind of solution, and you will see that as long as the dA is smaller enough, which is given by this condition, then you will get very similar rank entropy behaviors as the one that I gave in the single example of the large eigenvalue of 1 over root d.
I'm confused. So if you think about UA tensor UB, and then UA and...
Yeah, you start from some fiducial vector, right? And you consider this kind of orbit. You generate an orbit by this UA tensor UB.
Okay.
Actually, sorry.
So UA is some
power
random on A, or?
Yeah.
So UA is power random on A, and UB is power random on B, and what do you do? You
start from some fiducial vector with some spectrum, right? So the U will not change the spectrum.
Oh.
But by representation theory, you know that the orbit, as long as it satisfies this condition, then this orbit will be a projective two design.
It's not
so trivial. It's not, yeah.
Orbit, you mean you start from some
fiducial vector, and
you design nicely.
You generate a ensemble via this Haar measure on this subgroup. Yeah. Right. Okay, so now let's move on to the more difficult case of unitary. So how should we study the intrinsic property, entanglement properties of random unitary channels? So the most obvious answer is to study the choice state. And what you do is you partition the input into A and B, the input register here, and the output into C and D, and you look at the entanglement entropy of AC. So why? A nice way to understand it is actually given in this earlier paper by Benny and friends. So they look at this quantity called the negative tripartite information, which is given by this. So when the channel is unitary, this quantity is going to be determined by S of AC. And when this S of AC is large, then the local mutual information of A between C will be small. And this negative tripartite information will be large. So this means that this unitary generates global entanglement to hide local information in the input. So the large negative tripartite information, or actually almost equivalently, the smallness of this local mutual information, or the largeness of this entropy of AC, will diagnose scrambling. It says that the local operator supported on A gets spread onto CD via global entanglement, so it becomes invisible to local measurements. Also, it reduces to this quantity called conditional mutual information, which is of great importance and interest in QI in recent years. Okay, so the derivations for the results for the unitary case is actually much more involved, but the main results look very, very similar. So this is the equal partition and the D going to infinity result. It also says that, now keep in mind that we are calculating the entropy of AC, and it also says that the Ranyi entanglement entropy of AC averaged over Ranyi alpha, averaged over alpha design, will be log D minus 01, which is nearly maximal. Yeah, we also worked pretty hard to get this this explicit bounds in general dimension. It actually uses quite different tools from the state case, but yeah, it actually uses some very recent tools, some papers in 17. But yeah, we were eventually able to get this. So the methods are also very similar. So the problem boils down to calculating this more complicated Haar integral, where this WG is the Weingarten function. And for the equal partition case, we resort to the cycle lemma and some asymptotic behaviors of the Weingarten function, and we were able to get the very similar results.
So basically, you only look at the leading order term, the
Weingarten. Yeah, sort of. It doesn't affect the average behavior. It gives you the right thing. Yeah, but the gap constructions are unknown. So recall that we had this gap two design, which such that the all higher order Ranyi entropies are small. But for the unitary case, we are not able to give a similar gap construction because the techniques just don't apply. Okay, so this is a very similar result for approximate unitary designs, which says very similar things. If it is close enough to, if it is constantly close to exact designs, then the Ranyi entropy result will kind of hold. And also very, very similar result of the log design, which says that now you have a log logarithmic order, logarithmic in the dimension, unitary design, then its min entropy will become maximal, which says that all Ranyi entropy will become maximal. Very similar to the state case. Okay, so now before moving on, let's briefly summarize the mathematical results. So we linked the order of design and generalized entropy by deriving the results saying that alpha design will exhibit almost maximal entanglement as measured by the Ranyi alpha entropy. So this, you can understand this as a family of strong or tight Page's theorem in terms of complexity. So the complexity gap of this Haar measure and the von Neumann entropy is closed. we also have this results essentially saying that there are only logarithmic number of non-trivial moments, non-trivial orders of designs, in the sense that like higher order designs will just be the same by entanglement properties. And we also have this construction of gap two design, which is a pseudo-random ensemble, an ensemble that mimics the second moment behavior of the Haar measure, but in contrast, it gives you non-flat entanglement spectrum or non-trivial order dependence for rank.
Does it generalize to three orders?
No, we don't know how to do that.
Suppose if I know exact, let's say, construction of K design, then can you use that to do this construction?
That subgroup result doesn't really hold. So we don't know for higher orders. We only know for two design. Yeah. But in some sense it's good enough because like two design is already like in some sense random and you have this separation which is going to be useful in, for example, the random tensor network, which I'll briefly mention later. Yeah. Okay. So now let's briefly discuss some physical implications, which is contained in the title, the complexity beyond scrambling. So recall that the information scrambling effects can actually they can actually already be achieved by two designs, which is pseudo-random and correspond to low complexity. So our results actually indicates that we can use the higher order Rennie entropy to diagnose the randomness complexity or randomness behavior of alpha designs beyond information scrambling. So you can also call this scrambling complexity. So yeah, the order correspondence results actually gives you a hierarchy of complexity by design between maximum entanglement entropy and maximum randomness that we briefly introduced earlier. Yeah. So, as I said, this indicates that you can use Rennie alpha entanglement entropy as diagnostics of the randomness complexity of alpha designs. So in this earlier paper by Dan Roberts and Benny, you can also they look at the different things, which are higher order, out of time order correlation functions and frame potentials. But this is another aspect. Okay, now an interesting thing is that this entanglement results allows us to define this notion called max scrambling, which says that all entanglement entropies are maximized. So this corresponds to the scrambler already exhibits or gives you very uniform entanglement spectrum that, like from the perspective of entanglement, you don't get any more scramble. Okay, so now this leads to this generalization of fast scrambling conjecture, which we call the fast max scrambling conjecture. It says that this kind of max scrambling can be achieved by physical dynamics. Physical, more precisely, means k-local and time independent, some time independent Hamiltonian. You can understand it in that way, but you can also discuss some other assumptions, I think. So this says that the max scrambling can be achieved by physical dynamics in time roughly goes as n log n. So why is that? So from this paper by Nakata, Hirsch, Nkoashi, and Winter, they have this fast alpha design conjecture, which says that under the similar set of assumptions, the alpha design can be actually approximated in time alpha log n. And then we have this log design result earlier, which says that the alpha only needs to go to scale as log dimension, which is roughly n, and it's the number of degrees of freedom qubits, and then you can achieve max scrambling. So this is a we think this is an interesting generalization of fast scrambling. Okay.
So this fast alpha design thing, is it like Horodetsky Brandau, Harvard, didn't they prove that some approaches to alpha design approximately in a time which is proportional to alpha?
To my understanding, the setting is a bit different because they are looking at this local circuit, right? So the locality notion is a bit different, I think. Yeah.
But they also consider zero D things. I mean, their bounds are pretty loose, I guess. I thought they had some result which basically says that it's proportional. I don't know about the other part, like it's n times log n or log n. But that I don't remember.
Okay, yeah, I might need to look at the details. But on top of my head, I remember that there is some difference in the notion of locality. So here is K local, it's not geometrically local. But yeah. Yeah, I need to look at the details. Okay, now as I promised, I'd like to spend some time on some potential extensions of these results, which are like going in very different directions, but I'd like to mention as much of them as possible. So some direct open problems, of course, we are looking for higher like separations for higher order state designs and the unitary designs, but it seems to be a very difficult problem, mathematical problem. Also, because this Ren-Yi entropy doesn't have this subadditivity result, so sometimes the tripartite Ren-Yi information will be negative. I think it might be interesting to look at when that happens, and yeah. Okay, so these results also indicates something like, also indicates that this very strong entanglement is typical. So of course, by typical, we really need to make some more precise probabilistic statements using measure concentration or Levy's lemma kind of thing. But the idea I think here is pretty clear. So we have these very mathematically very non-trivial notions of absolutely maximally entangled states or locally maximally entangled states, which is very recent. So we know that the exact cases of these notions are very non-trivial, like they exist in some dimension, doesn't exist in some other dimension, it's very non-trivial. But it seems that these kind of notions are not so robust in the sense that if you allow even some very small deviation, even for example in the min entropy sense, like almost everything will exhibit this kind of very strong entanglement. So I think this is... I mean the exact cases, they are kind of rare. They're kind of,
it's just like,
yeah, they're, and they can be very non-trivial. Like people are having a very hard time deriving the conditions. Yeah, but if you allow some, like if you talk about something like almost absolutely maximally entangled states, then what you'll get, you will see that almost everything is almost absolutely maximally entangled states. So whether this kind of observation has some like implications in physics. But, yeah, I'd like to explore. Also, another interesting notion that design people are looking for is the notion of non-integer designs. So why do we care about it? So non-integer design, by its name, it means designs of non-integer orders, like between 1 and 2, 2 and 3. So why possibly do we even care about it? So we actually observe that for many cases, the one design will be completely useless. For example, if you're trying to understand it from an entanglement or scrambling point of view, the one design, it can just be a complete basis of separable stuff. So it's completely not entangled. But two design will already give you the Page's theorem kind of results. Like you average over two design, you must have nearly maximal entanglement. And like two design, sometimes in some specific applications, you feel that it's too strong for the randomness that you really need. So the question here is, do we have some more fine-grained notion of the lower bound of pseudo-randomness in between 1 and 2? It's possible. And also, in some other applications, there seem to be something in between 2 and 3. But people, because we don't really have this notion of design of non-integers, so people don't really know how to do that. But the good thing is that our random entropy results seems to indicate some possible ways of discussing this kind of problem, because the random entropy, the order of random entropy, can naturally be non-integers. So here, a necessary condition, it's reasonable to put this necessary condition that whatever alpha is, an alpha design will have to exhibit almost maximal alpha random entropy by our results. Okay, so then let's consider some examples that might give us something non-trivial. So let's consider our gap two design construction. So very simply, whenever you take alpha, like even if it's slightly greater than 2, this factor of log d will be smaller than 1. So it is essentially saying that this gap 2 design construction cannot be a 2 plus epsilon design for small epsilon. But now the question is that, can we like modify that spectrum to get something that exhibits, maximum 2.5 entropy, but not larger? And I actually tried several different things, but they just don't seem to work. Like there seem to be some fundamental obstacles that prevents us from doing this. And also, my collaborator also tried some arguments generalizing the frame potential, and it also doesn't seem to work. So it will be also very interesting if we can have some better understanding on why this notion of non-integer designs are fundamentally maybe they just cannot be there. But I think this the questions along these lines are still wide open. Okay, so now this is also relevant to the gap two design construction. So the random tensor network model of holography. So we have these models based on perfect tensor, which Benny is involved, and later some random tensor model, random tensor network model for holography. Like people are trying to use these models to reproduce some features of holography, like Liu Takanagi. But these models have this flat spectrum problem, because like if you're using perfect tensor or completely random tensor, then the entanglement spectrum will be flat, which means that all random entropies will be the same. It will have trivial dependence on the order of random. This doesn't seem to match with the in some limit, but this doesn't seem to match the behaviors, the right entanglement behaviors of CFD ground state, which has non-trivial dependence on the order of random. Okay, but our gap two design construction is unknown before, so this gives us some hope. Recall that the gap two design construction, they are two designs, so they are random in some sense, but the entanglement spectrum is not flat. The random entropies are different. And this alpha over alpha minus one type factors are very similar to the correct behavior of the CFD ground state. So it gives us some possible ways to maybe modify the random tensor model to improve the matching behaviors with real holography. So actually, this kind of factors are telling us that the large eigenvalues scales roughly as 1 over root d, and there cannot be many. So the question is, why is that physically? And what does it say on the gravity side? Or is there any more physical justifications of this kind of behavior, or for example, using two designs to to construct the random tensor. And maybe is this new tensor network model helpful for studying some holographic statements like generalized Liu Takanagi, or maybe entanglement wedge, some new stuff? I'm not sure, but I think it's worth exploring in this direction as well. Okay, now on the physical side, on the dynamical side, it can also be interesting to study the randomness complexity beyond scrambling, chaos, and atomization in some specific models, in some specific chaotic dynamics. For example, you can track the behaviors of Ren entropy and see what happens. For example, this problem of thermalization of Ren entropies, I think is still like under some sort of argument right now. There are many problems that I think people don't fully understand. Like, do Ren entropy really thermalize? The thermalizing time, is it like significantly later than the scrambling time? Or yeah, I don't think it's fully understood right now. There is some recent work calculating the behaviors of Ren entropy in the intermediate regime in the 1D generalization of SYK model. I think the result there, like they did this calculation in the intermediate regime, the scrambling regime. They say that okay, now the system scrambles in the sense that the entanglement entropy, the volume entropy, are already very large. But the Ren entropy, they are not really thermal. So like, are they going to be thermal, or what is the late time behaviors of these Ren entropies? I think the tools in that paper is not able to answer these questions, but I think it's worth exploring. Yeah, this is also another possible thing to study. More on thermalization. The scrambling results, the design results so far discussed in this talk, they don't have any symmetry or conserved quantity constraints. But I'll be happy to know if like how these results become in that regime. It's also related to thermalization and this understanding called canonical typicality. Okay, so people have done Page's theorem in like very thin energy shells, and proposed some for example subsystem ETH based on this canonical typicality sort of arguments, but there is also some recent study on the mismatch of Ren entropy of eigenstates of chaotic Hamiltonians and their thermal values, for example in CFT in more general settings. So I think there is some understanding or conceptual gaps here that people don't seem to fully understand. Can we derive the type Page's theorem with symmetry constraints here, or this kind of results may shed new light on the understanding of canonical typicality or the mechanism of thermalization and ETH. I think it's possible. Can we construct explicit models? Maybe some sort of random circuit that achieves designs with symmetry. I think there is some recent work on it, but yeah. Okay, I'm coming to the end. I'd like to see some further understanding on entanglement and randomness in some other contexts, such as quantum cryptography and quantum computation. For example, we had some earlier studies on MPQC talking about like, is random states useful for MPQC? Random state, we know about those cluster states, right? But random states, the earlier results saying that they are probably too entangled to be useful for MPQC. But what is the real entanglement requirements there? Is there something like area law? You need some area law to be useful for MPQC? Or Yeah, I mean, this kind of problem is, I think it's interesting to study further. Also, we'd like to make more connections to, for example, other complexity like computational or homograph type or holographic complexity, or connections to like Robert Yoshida type of higher point OTOCs, or some other notions of pseudo-randomness. For example, this very recent work on like they define pseudo-random states in a different way. Like they allow to have as many copies as you want, but you have some polynomial time constraints on decoding these stuff. Okay, so we hope to see more connections to the study of these fields, like quantum gravity, holography, many body physics, and like in QI. I think that's roughly all I want to talk about. Thank you very much.
So I guess I want to follow up a question that Benny asked at the beginning, where I don't think I was satisfied with your answer. So he asked about variance. So
yeah.
Unless I missed something, basically all your statements were about the average
right.
of the entanglement.
Right.
So can you, I mean, do you have some comparable statements where you say, this is what you mean by the probabilistic statements?
Right.
I mean, where you say something like with high probability, the entropy is definitely at least this.
Yeah, I definitely have to do that, but I haven't done that. But
okay.
Yeah, but it seems hopeful to use Levy's lemma kind of stuff to arrive at very strong results on that.
So yeah. So then the other question, it's not really a question, it's kind of an observation. You can follow up, which is if you take a stabilizer, a random stabilizer state,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken, you have a statement basically like this, that with very high probability it will be actually maximally entangled over small cuts, not
mm-hmm.
approximately, but actually, which means that you're also getting all the infinite Renyi entropy. I mean, the infinite Renyi entropy and the max entropy, right? And if it's exactly maximally entangled, right, you have this flat spectrum.
Yeah.
But of course, stabilizer states are only like a three design, right? So.
In some cases, yeah.
I guess the observation here is that some designs will kind of outperform your bounds by a lot.
By a lot? Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Well, you have this bound that, you know, you need an alpha design to get the alpha entropies. But this is something that's a low design, but it still gets high entropies.
Oh, it's not the other direction. It's not you need alpha design.
Yeah.
I see. You're asking for other. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not exactly a question.
I see.
But I mean, is there the observation? I guess is that the entropic properties don't kind of completely characterize. The level of design.
Oh, it's definitely possible. Yeah.
Do you have any ideas maybe about what kind of other properties are relevant?
I guess it's more important to be slightly off maximal. Achieving maximal entropy is pretty easy. Right? Just we can take just Clifford and
right.
But maybe slightly off for all. Alpha Renyi may be much more difficult to achieve. And again, it's just speculation.
Yeah, right.
You mean just below maximum?
Just below more than one maximum.
Yeah, it's not so clear that it's like it ought to be true. I don't think it's so clear, even for a stabilizer group.
Sorry, what's
So this gap two design is actually a attempt along that direction, right? So it is a two design, but it's all higher entropies are small.
Right. Yeah. Right. No. I understand to get the separation, it's not so easy. It's more of a question of.
I mean, clearly a design that does kind of have high entropies that are uniform or that are, you know, maximal, but it's still not a high design, so it's failing in other respects.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a very difficult question, but part of this, for Clifford group, I think you definitely know this paper. It's the Clifford group fails gracefully to be a full design. They study some other stuff there.
Some other properties.
Yeah. I think that paper will partly answer your question. Yeah.
Maybe relevant question, but so if I want to define scrambling by using out of time zone correlator, like, I would demand that all out of time zone correlator should go to roughly half value, or nearly zero. But then this definition actually requires not two design, but actually four design. Because if I just take Pauli operator, some computer out of time zone correlator, then for Clifford it's plus one or minus one, which is not.
Did you mention that in the paper? I think I saw something like this, but maybe I didn't pay too much attention.
Until recently, I thought that two design
okay.
Like scrambling, but I just thought that it's very
yeah.
I sort of redefined scrambling.
I see. For OTOC, I'm not sure. Maybe you can understand.
Again, it's another way of saying maybe.
Right.
Looking at variance is interesting.
I see. Yeah, but maybe it's also, I think it's also, like, OTOC might be a slightly different definition.
Sure, but right. Somehow
I see.
It looks at higher moment. And then maybe
sure.
Variance may be suppressed at late time.
I see.
It may be another way of interpolating between, let's say, two design and four design. Somehow.
I see, yeah, that's interesting, yeah. Okay.
Another question? Not let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.